Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome again, everybody. This is Brian Myers, and Shane Vanderhart is out of pocket today. I think he's off taking his daughter to college in Missouri or something like that, but anyway, not to fear. We have with us Steve Riker, who's been my co-host a number of different times now.
A few times, yeah.
Three or four times. So anyway, good morning, Steve.
Good to have you here. Thank you for having me.
You're sitting in the big dog's chair.
I know. It kind of feels a little, gives me trembles here.
I can feel the vibration through the table. You know?
There's a funny smell, too, but we don't need to talk about that.
What have you been up to lately? Anyway, I haven't talked to you for quite a while.
I've been consulting. So I'm working in communications, helping companies write and helping them communicate with clients and customers. And it's been keeping me busy.
Communications. Uh-huh.
Funny. Imagine that. Me talking for a living.
Well, before we get started with the show, I think I should mention, because we haven't really talked about it much, but Caffeinated Thoughts is having its third annual Caffeinated Thoughts briefing coming up this October 15th.
That's right. I'm going to be there.
Are you?
I am going to be there.
That's good. So we'll have at least one person attend. Write that down, Ron.
I'm writing as we speak.
But no, we are anticipating a really great conference again this year. We have just confirmed four of the five keynote speakers. Just a couple of them we'll tell you about real quickly. One is Cal Beisner, who's been with us before.
Yep.
Cal has graciously said that he would speak to the issue of Christian worldview, and he has a lot of expertise in that.
That is one very, very smart guy.
He is indeed. And we'll also have Dr. Robert Gagnon. He is, as I understand it, is one of the foremost experts today from a Christian perspective relative to LGBTQ issues. So we look forward to having Dr. Gagnon there lecturing as well. And we have a few others, but I'll leave you with that tease there.
All right.
And there's going to be a presser released, I think, next week. Mr. Vanderhart will be cranking that out. And you'll also see that on Facebook. But
sure.
Anyway, mark your calendars, everybody. October 15th.
we got to agree on a date here somewhere.
Yes. October 15th. That's at the Johnston Lions Club in Johnston, Iowa, which is a very nice venue. So
very good. Very good.
Well, this morning we have a special treat. We have with us on our VIP line, Kimberly Arms Shirk. Kimberly is a television reporter turned motivational speaker and now writer. She has a new book coming out in September called Remote Fears and Silver Linings. She resides in Lincoln, Nebraska. Go Huskers! With her husband and their three children. She's a senior marketing strategist with Talent Plus and a motivational speaker sharing her story whenever the opportunity arises. Kimberly, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the shout-out to the Huskers. My kids will especially enjoy that.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a diehard Iowa State Cyclone fan, but I've spent so much time in Lincoln on business over the last 25 years, that it's kind of my adopted second hometown, and I'm kind of a closet Huskers fan. I guess I'm not anymore. I'm outed.
That's kind of a dangerous thing, given our huge in-studio audience here.
Well, Well, we'll take that. We like to say that we're Iowa State fans as well, unless we're playing you.
Well, we know exactly what that feels like. So, well, yeah. Kim, writing a book is a big project. It's a big task. And I had to ask you, is that something you'd been thinking about for a long time?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know that I initially thought I'm going to write a book right after my accident happened. I journaled a lot. I've been writing since I can remember and kept so many writing samples. In fact, my mom probably still has them in her house at some point in time, stashed away. But I don't think the book was really the motivation, the book idea. But what I decided as I started raising my family is that I really wanted an opportunity to share with my children what I had learned in my life. And I don't think as parents often enough we take the time certainly to say, hey, let me tell you about the worst time in my life and how I got through it, you know, and to encourage our children to be able to deal with the tough stuff of life. And so I originally, that's when the idea of a book started formulating in my mind, is I need to write this down so my children have access to it.
So, Kimberly, Brian and I know your story, and you became a motivational speaker because you overcame some catastrophic events in your life. But I don't know if our listeners know everything about that. Can you give us a quick kind of a synopsis of your story? Remember,
you
we
bet.
Only have 4 hours here, so you can't get the whole speech. A quick synopsis.
I can absolutely do that. In 1997, I came to Iowa shortly. I had just been married in June, and we moved there in July. And I was a television news anchor and reporter here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and took a job with our sister station, WOI-TV5, there in Des Moines. And we moved there. My husband was in a management training program, so that was the impetus for us moving to Iowa. And I began reporting there and doing video journalism, where I would shoot stories some days and I would report stories other days. And I actually was on the job one day when a colleague of mine had been covering a story about church vandalism. So a lot of church vandalisms had happened in the area. And I came back into the newsroom one day after covering a story with my colleague Lisa. And I had a little bit of a break, and my colleague David was running around kind of frantic saying, I'm not sure how I'm going to get this done. And I said, David, what do you need? And he said, I need help. My photographer just got called away to a fire, and I have to go do this live shot at the Des Moines Christian School. And I said, well, I can help you. And so I checked with Lisa, and our story wasn't supposed to air till later, and then we headed out for that story. Well, that's the last memory I have of that day, because when we arrived on the scene, the details, I don't know firsthand, but I know from personal stories and coverage, actually news coverage that happened that day. But David accidentally raised our mast of our live truck, our remote live truck, into electrical wires, and there was a big explosion. And then when I went to help him, I was injured as well, injured very severely. And so I suffered third and fourth degree burns to about 12% of my body. My head hit the electrified van. And both of us sustained grave injuries and were rushed to the hospital. And after that initial injury, then I had about 5 years of recovery, surgeries, and outpatient and inpatient healthcare recovery that went along with that.
Kim, I know this interview is going to fly by, so I'm going to ask you real quickly, give us a short summary of the book. Where's the book? Where's the book start? Where's the book finish?
The book starts just as a precursor when I'm in Lincoln and doing some reporting, and the initial thoughts of I wasn't sure what was to come, but there were some areas that were setting me up. Then we jump right to the accident, and really the crux of the book is the 5 years of recovery and the different silver linings that I was able to find through that situation. You know, it was a difficult physical situation. It was a difficult emotional situation. But all through that, I just saw glimmers of hope and light and faith and sustenance that carried me through. And so what I really wanted to do was tell people, everyone's going to go through something in their life. and hopefully not as catastrophic as what I did, but it may be that they will. And I just want them to be able to find the sunshine, find the light, find those silver linings in everything that we march through in life to give them hope for the next day.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the phone line we have with us Kimberly Arms Shirk, who has written a new book that'll be released, I believe, here just in a matter of a few weeks. And the book is called Remote Fears and Silver Linings. Kim, you and I met in the spring of 1998 when you and Dave Bingham came to an assembly at Des Moines Christian School. And we've talked a few times since then, but I don't think we've ever actually spoken about the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you is what you remember, and you've already answered that question. So you don't remember anything other than you were going to DMCS to do a live shot, and you don't remember anything after that?
I don't. My mind goes completely blank, and I count that as one of the biggest blessings in my life. You know, if you talk about the safety aspect of what happened that day, when the explosion first happened, I did the exact opposite of what every safety expert would tell you to do. They don't say run to the scene. They say run away and stay clear of the scene. And I would hate to replay in my mind over and over that decision. I did what I knew in my heart was right, was I went to help a friend. And so I count that as a huge blessing that I don't remember the details of how that all occurred. And I count that as just a total blessing.
So Kimberly, your book is in pre-launch on Amazon.com, so people can order that right now. And it's called Remote Fears and Silver Linings. So I have to confess, I was a little curious about that. How did you come up with the title for that, and what's the significance of that?
Yeah, I would love to share that. So many years after my accident, probably 2 or 3 years, I was still going through surgeries, but my husband and his grandparents had a place down in Florida, and they invited me to come and speak to their living community. They had a closed-circuit TV station and share my story. And I finished my story and sharing a little bit about what I had been through and what I was continuing to go through. And a gentleman that was producing the story stopped me, and he said, I have the title for your book. You need to write this in a book, and I have the title for it. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, Remote Fears and Silver Linings. Now, I had talked about silver linings in my discussion with them.
Sure.
And I've talked about those from the very beginning. But what I love about the remote fears part about it is not only that it was a remote live truck that actually, you know, was the cause of my accident, but I love the thought of thinking that remote fears are things we don't anticipate happening in our lives. You know, no one expects a cancer diagnosis. No one expects to lose a loved one in the blink of an eye. No one expects to have a strong relationship go bad. Those are things that we don't anticipate, but that still hit us in the face. But they're so remote in our mind that they can take our breath away. And they can maybe not allow us to be able to deal with them in the way that we can. And so I love writing, and I love words, and I love plays on words. So for me, that title just fit perfectly. And I've had more than one editor say, you need to rename this book. But I have stuck to it because I just feel like it explains exactly what I'm trying to say.
That's great.
So you touched on this earlier, Kim. What are your hopes for this book in terms of how you would like to see it impact people?
What are you trying to teach people?
You know, in every situation that goes on, it is an opportunity for us to learn. And so when we're faced with something that seems bigger than us or seems overwhelming to us, what I know about my faith that I believe in is that God is teaching us something. And if we could only look at life through his lens, we would see that as he teaches us, he's making us stronger each day, and he's giving us opportunities to help others along the way. And so I feel like this story, if it can inspire faith, if it can inspire a moment of hope, if it can inspire just maybe the flipping of your perspective from thinking, oh no, why me, or I'll never get through this, to, okay, why not me? and how will I get through this with a smile on my face and looking for the sunshine coming through, because the sunshine always comes up. If I can do that for individuals, then I will have felt like this journey that I have walked will be incredibly significant. You know, I talked about wanting to write this for my children, but as I shared my story, I found that other people would share their stories with me, and then I was so inspired by them, and I thought, this is a bigger story than just my children, than just my family. And so what I really want to do is amplify this and have people, even if they don't want to read it themselves, if they can think of someone who is going through a tough time and they want to gift this to someone, I think that would just be an incredible offering to give.
That's a great message. We're running low on time. I want to cover just three quick questions for you. When will the book be released?
A little over a minute left.
So you're right. We are in pre-release right now. It's on Outskirts Press, on Amazon, both in the paperback format and the Kindle version, and on Barnes & Noble right now. But what I really want to do is have people celebrate my anniversary, which is September 3rd, so that's a week from now.
Okay.
And get online and purchase the books then for themselves or for a friend.
And you have a book signing coming up soon, right?
I do. We're scheduling that right now. I believe it's going to be October 23rd. I'm finalizing those details, and I will be sure and get your listeners' information on that.
We'll release that on Caffeinated Thoughts.
Absolutely.
Social media.
Great.
And we'll get that out.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And what's the best way for people to stay in touch with you?
You bet. I have a website. It's www.KimberlySHirk.com. KimberlySHirk.com, and they can contact me there anytime or write email silverlinings@gmail.com.
Kimberly, thank you very much for coming on the show. Best of success with the book launch. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back in a moment. Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Ryker.
Hello, everyone.
Sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Well, this segment we have another special guest with us on our VIP line.
Are you sure? I heard that this guy had some questionable heritage.
It's true.
Nobody asked you, Ryker. Nobody asked you, Ryker. We have with us Steve Myers of Cyhawk Thoughts. Steve, along with Chuck Utek, started Cyhawk Thoughts in 2011 to be a one-stop source for both Iowa State and Iowa Athletics information. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Steve.
Hey, good to have. Thanks for having me back on.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing all right.
I don't know if we should be talking to you anymore after you made that admission here a moment or two ago.
Well, we can always do a take three.
Okay, inside joke, folks. All right, Steve, let's get started talking about the Hawkeyes. We'll start off there.
Yeah.
Do we have to do the Hawkeyes first? How is that...
Because we get them out of the way.
Oh, okay. Just like, all right. All like, right. I guess we can do that.
It's kind of like eating the artichokes before you get onto the good stuff, right?
All right. Let's talk about the Hawks.
Okay. Obviously, expectations are high. They're coming off an extraordinary season last year. So where do you see them? What's up with the Hawks this year?
Well, I think things are looking good again. I don't see any reason why, you know, there shouldn't be really high expectations. They have a proven quarterback. They've got a lot of returners. I think they're going to do very well. And I think, you know, Hawkeye fans are not going to start the website Fire Kirk Prince this year. I think
it's
going to be another year where they keep them around.
What's going to be their strengths and what's going to be their weaknesses? You mentioned Beathard. Is that how you say his name?
Yes. You got it right there. That's their number one strength right there. He's the real deal. He's healthy. I think he's just going to have one of those really solid seasons. Possibly, you know, all Big Ten first team. That's how good I think this guy could be. I think their defense is another huge strength for them. They get the Jim Thorpe Award winner back, Desmond King. I think maybe some of their weaknesses is going to look at special teams. They kind of return, they don't return their kicker or punter. So that's going to be, you know, iffy maybe to start out until they, you know, really kind of get rolling and then they get comfortable in their positions. If we go back to Beathard though, maybe a weakness is who comes in after him if he doesn't stay healthy. There's no one really proven behind him. So that could be a little iffy for him if that should happen. But everyone's hope is that Beathard stays healthy.
How are they looking in the running back department?
Just fine, just like last year. They get their the majority of their yards back again for another season here. I think the running backs, I don't think they're going to blow anyone's mind, but they're workhorses, just kind of like you have behind the Kirk Ferentz offensive lines.
Tell us about McNutt.
Well, he's not there, so we have...
Stumped him.
Matt, what was that?
Stumped him.
Yeah. Matt Vandenberg, he's going to be...
Did I throw you a curve there?
You did. Matt Vandenberg, he's going to be the go-to guy as a wide receiver. He had a great year last year. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. But, you know, he runs his routes so well, and he's always there to get Beathard out of trouble. So they're going to be really high on him again this year. That's going to be kind of the one thing for cornerbacks and safeties to kind of really do is keep an eye on him. If you can hold him back and keep Beathard from running the ball, I think you have a chance to slow the Iowa Hawkeye offense down.
Beathard is surprisingly mobile. I mean, that guy can run.
He can. Yeah, he's and the thing about him is he's so patient. He doesn't run because he wants to. He only runs because he has to. And usually he can find a hole and he can make some guys miss. So,
okay, the Hawks got a night game at Kinnick against Iowa State on September 10th. How do you see that game playing out? Who wins and how much?
I'd probably say Iowa by 10, something like 27-17. You know, I really hope we don't see another like 9-3 game like we did a couple years ago. I think this one kind of mimics last year a lot. I think it's close throughout the game. You know, we're going to go with the same outcome as they did last year. Hawks end up getting a fourth quarter, maybe pick six by Desmond King, and so the final score 27-17, but close until the end.
Would it be safe to say that both teams have a stronger offense than they did a couple of years ago?
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. Both teams should be able to put up points. Iowa State, you know, improved greatly last year in terms of points. It didn't show on the record because in the fourth quarter we'd hand the ball to people.
Right, but the best three quarter team in football, right?
Tends
to be Iowa State.
Yes, no one can beat us if the game was shortened by a quarter.
Well, the Cyclones really have no place to go but up, and I remember Coach Paul Rhodes actually said at the end of last season that this was a very good team. So what should we expect from them?
Can we have them stop practicing preseason? Preseason practice does not seem to be going well for the Iowa State football team.
you know, I always hear about Iowa State and their turf department being, you know, up there as the nation's best, but yet we can't seem to keep people healthy, so they need to change the grass or something. With Jake Campos going out, that's a huge hit on the offensive line. I mean, that's the one that hurts. If there's anyone that hurts, it's Jake Campos going out. I know we lost Neb Zolan, the backup quarterback. He was an incoming freshman. You know, he was battling for that second spot. I still think he would have lost to Park. So that's not as huge of a loss for us unless we lose Lanning and Park, and then that becomes a factor.
But Campos really hurts them.
He does. He had the most starts. He had the most experience. Fortunately, we get Bobek from Minnesota, the transfer that came in, so he's going to be able to play right away. So that'll kind of soften the blow, but Campos hurts. But the good news is, like Brian said, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel, so there's nowhere to go up, and I think we're going to see a lot of improvement.
Well, I've been hearing that they're pretty good, but that they just don't have any depth. It kind of reminds me of Jim Walden's 1989 team, because they had their top 22 guys could play with almost anybody, but they get in trouble real quick if they had to substitute, no matter what reason, injury or, you know, whatever.
I was just about to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, especially the O-line, like we just got done talking about, that's a very big concern in terms of depth, and probably the linebacker crew as well. When you lose Luke Knott, Levi Peters, and Harris transfers, you know, those were guys that were all going to come in and potentially have another big key year for us, and when they all left, you know, that hurts. And so our linebacker crew may be very, very, very limited as well if you go down the depth chart.
So if I was investing the family nest egg, you would say probably not to have it ride on the ISU football team this year?
Well, it kind of depends. If you want, you know, to get into the college football playoffs, heck no. If you want to go to a low bowl, there's a chance. They're not going to be world beaters this year in year one of Matt Campbell, so we'll have to see. But I think we're going to see some improvements. I think we'll win more close games than lose close games this year than we did last year, because we lost all those, I think.
Yep.
But, yeah, Paul Rose couldn't finish. We'll see if Matt Campbell can.
So tell me about Campbell. Coach Campbell coming in, brand new. How's his recruiting efforts going so far, and what do you think of him overall?
Less than a minute left, Steve.
No problem. It's been really good for Campbell. He's young, he's hip, he's using social media, he's bringing in recruits that Iowa State really hasn't seen in the past. Check this, the last four-star out of state of Iowa that went to Iowa State was in 2008 with Cedric Johnson. He hasn't even been here a year, and he's gotten 2 four-star commits outside of the state of Iowa. So that kind of shows you what he's doing on the recruiting side. He brought in a great coaching staff, and so I think this is going to be a fun ride with Matt Campbell, as long as he stays.
Steve, I made an error when I looked at the clock. We got time. I apologize for that. Well, talk to us about what you think their record's going to be at the end of the year.
Well, we'll start out with Iowa. I think Iowa is probably going to be around 10-2 this year. That's kind of my guess. I'm going to be realistic, and Iowa fans may not like this, but I'd be this way with Iowa State as well. Their schedule set up very well last year, and that really helped them. Now, you're supposed to win the games that are on your schedule, and they did that, so all the credit to them. But their schedule was very, very nice. And I think this year you kind of see the same thing. Their home games are Wisconsin, Michigan, Nebraska, and their away games, they don't have any of the premier teams. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Michigan State. So they've got the really hard games at home. Their away games are not that bad. So I have them 10-2, losing at Minnesota, though, because that seems to be kind of an Achilles heel at time for them, and then losing to Michigan at home. But 10-2 for Iowa. Iowa State, I see about 6-6. I think we can sneak maybe Baylor at home. Maybe they're not the same team without Art Briles at the helm. And then maybe go down to Texas and whoop them again. That would be fun. So I see bowl game for each of them. Iowa State, just to get back there, is a big win for that program. And then I see Iowa back in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, if the Clones would win 6 games and go bowling again, that would be huge for Coach Campbell.
That would be a big improvement.
That's very big. And,
yep.
You know, Pollard's done a great job with facilities, and so if we can start to get some more national media behind us with bowl games, what he's doing with recruiting and everything like that, I think we're in a good position.
Who's going to be the breakout playmakers for Iowa State this year? Obviously, they got Mike Warren coming back. Talk to us about those guys, and maybe Warren in particular.
Well, Fox Sports actually had an article where Warren was listed as a sleeper for the Heisman, so that's the kind of hype this kid's got around him coming into a sophomore season. You know, I think he could have, you know, even better season this year with, you know, he didn't even play in the first three games hardly, and so he did all of his damage in the last nine last year. You give him 12 games, and he could be looking over 1,500 yards rushing. Of course, you got Lanning at quarterback and, of course, Lazard at wide receiver, and Lazard could have an all-Big 12 year as well.
Lazard seems like he's always teetering on that possibility.
Yeah. The thing about him with Rhodes, I think Rhodes underutilized him. There was a key statement by Rhodes in the TCU game last year. Lanning had Lazard out on a fly route. He was single coverage. He threw a kind of a 50-50 Hail Mary pass up to him. Lazard went up, got interfered with, still came down with the ball, fought off the tackle afterwards, and still ran for a touchdown. In the post-game interview, Paul Rhodes said he shouldn't have thrown that. I don't know why he threw that. I tend to differ with Paul there. I think you throw that ball to him. If you've got Lazard out there on an island with someone, that's you throw it all the time. I mean, you know, that's like saying, hey, Randy Moss, we're not going to throw to you if you're one-on-one.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that at the time as well, Steve. It just seems like if you've got a weapon like that that can go up and get the ball, you just throw it up there and let him go get it.
Yeah, there's not very many cornerbacks in any FBS team that have the athletic ability or the size of Lazard to beat him at the, you know, up to the football. There's no one. So if you see that coverage, you take advantage of it.
Yeah, great hands too.
So who else do we have? Do we have some new guys that we don't know about that could be impact players right out of the gate?
Well, I guess he's not new, but I think he's going to be an impact, and it's a feel-good story, and that's Mitchell Myers for Iowa State defensive end. 2 years ago, found out he had cancer and had to take a year and a half away from football while he fought it off with chemo and radiation. And so he said, my goal is to get back on the football field. He finally got on the football field again this spring, and from what Matt Campbell said, he's going to be starting at defensive end. And that's just a feel-good story, which you don't see much out there.
Hey, Steve, I think my math is better.
Yeah.
We are now running out of time.
We really do have less than a minute left.
tell our listeners how we can stay in touch with you. Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, Facebook, Cyhawk Thoughts, and then our Twitter handle is at Cyhawk Thoughts. So all one word on both of them. But appreciate you guys having me on. Take care, and I look forward to being on again sometime.
Thanks for your
Steve.
Time.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries and Scott Owen, who's a good friend of mine, by the way, offering biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or check them out at www.crosswalkcounseling.org. This is Brian Myers with Steve Riker sitting in for Shane Vanderhart, and this is our news segment, affectionately known as News You Can Use. Didn't that sound dramatic, folks?
I just got shivers, chills up my spine.
See the hair standing
oh,
on
I
over
did.
There?
I did.
I'll tell you what.
First up, from the Washington Times, the Obama administration acknowledged Monday that the FBI found at least 14,900 more email messages former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton never turned over to the government.
This is radio, so does my shocked face, like, translate through here?
Officials are facing intense pressure to release them ahead of November's election. You think? A federal judge ordered the State Department to speed up the process, and the Republican National
Committee said they'll get right on that. Yeah,
they're all over it. The RNC said that the administration should strive to release an initial set of secret emails of the secret emails within a month or when the first states conduct early voting.
People do realize that George Orwell's 1984 was a warning, not a suggestion, right?
Yeah, it does kind of, it's like there's a playbook now, right? Orwell's work is a playbook. And meanwhile, Mrs. Clinton is experiencing this trouble after having said, in fact, insisted, she had turned over all of her work-related messages in December.
And she's usually so honest about these things.
Yeah, I can't imagine her ever lying about anything.
This has just turned into a comedy.
It has.
Okay, speaking of Mrs. Clinton, this is from Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch released 725 pages of new State Department documents, including previously unreleased email exchanges, in which former Hillary Clinton's top aide, Huma Abedin, provided influential Clinton Foundation donors special expedited access to the Secretary of State. In many instances, the preferential treatment provided to donors was at the specific request of Clinton Foundation executive Douglas Band.
This is what's known as pay for play, right?
Oh, yes. These records further appear to contradict statements by Clinton that, quote, as far as she knew, unquote, all of her government emails were turned over to the State Department. And this, again, was supposed to have
she
been done
her computer for
December
that, right?
2014. This was supposed to be done. These emails reveal that the longtime Clinton aide, that would be Huma Abedin, apparently served as a conduit between Clinton Foundation donors and Hillary Clinton while Clinton served as Secretary of State. In more than a dozen email exchanges, she provided expedited direct access to Hillary Clinton for donors who had contributed from $25,000 to $10 million to the Clinton Foundation.
So here's what I want to know. From 25,000 to 10 million. So you really got ripped off if you donated 10 million. Like, you only needed to donate 25,000, apparently.
The threshold was low, overpaid.
That 10 million guy's an idiot. I want to know who that is. I'm going to divest myself of stock in that company.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, of all the things that stood out to me in that story, that was what stuck in my brain.
Perfect. Next up, from the Washington Free Beacon. Sunni extremists are infiltrating the United States with the help of alien smugglers in South America and are crossing U.S. borders with ease, according to a U.S. South Command intelligence report. Mm-hmm. No, you don't say.
Right.
The command's J2 Intelligence Directorate reported recently in internal channels that special interest aliens are working with a known alien smuggling network in Latin America to reach the United States. The smuggling network was not identified. Army Colonel Lisa A. Garcia, a Southcom spokeswoman, did not address the intelligence report directly, but said Sunni terrorist infiltration is a security concern. Really?
You know, Brian, one thing I would say about this, I'm not known for being a big Trump fan.
No. But, say it isn't so.
I don't want to shock any of your listeners. But I will say this about him. I think that he has a unique knack for pointing out problems. Well, so does Bernie Sanders, but that's a discussion for a different time. But Donald Trump has been talking about this as mm-hmm. a problem. Now, I don't think that he necessarily has a great solution for it. And who knows from week to week what his solution may be, but
hour to hour,
but it is a problem. And this is a significant issue that is resonating with a large amount of American voters.
No, look, it involves a lot of things. Security is one of them.
That's right.
And you're exactly right. This resonates with a lot of people, whether they like Trump or not.
Yep.
All right. Next up, this is from the Christian Post. Bucking against conservative Christian tradition, advising against extramarital sex. The Reverend Bromley McClanahan, a married mother of three and associate pastor for ministry with families at Union Church of Hinsdale in Illinois, says single Christians can have sex as long as it's mutually pleasurable and affirming.
So, never mind. I'm just going to lead myself into trouble on this.
I don't even like talking about this, but we got to get this stuff out there. Because the church needs to know what a disaster is going on within its ranks.
Can we put the word pastor in quotes the quote pastor?
Well, we may put the word church in quotes here. I don't know. McClanahan, whose views are comprehensively captured in her new book, Good Christian Sex, Why Chastity Isn't the Only Option. Oh, boy.
Oh, keep going. The last part's the best part.
And other things the Bible says about sex. Give me a break.
And other things. So the implication there is absolutely that this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, hey, don't worry about that.
This is the last line of this particular, or at least this excerpt of this piece. McClanahan believes it's unfair to ask single Christians who haven't been called to a life of celibacy to refrain from sexual intimacy when both men and women need sex. I don't know. This is...
Next story.
Yeah. It doesn't get much better.
Ron is telling us to get off of this.
This is from our own Caffeinated Thoughts.
All right.
Much of what is reported about sexual orientation and gender identity is suspect, according to a new report published today by the New Atlantis. The report's authors are Lawrence Mayer, who is a scholar in residence in the Department of Psychiatry at the John Hopkins University School of Medicine, and a professor of statistics and biostatistics at Arizona State University. The other author is Paul McHugh, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at John Hopkins. Okay, Terry Schilling, executive director of the American Principles Project, believes this report should be required reading for members of the media. The New Atlantis report casts serious doubt on the scientific accuracy of the gender identity narrative being promoted by many in the mainstream media. The science is anything but settled. The recent effort by the Obama administration to force a scientifically suspect gender ideology on our children is irresponsible and, frankly, abusive. And I say amen to that.
Amen to that.
Oh, boy. You'd think this would be common sense, but...
Common sense to be is... so rare, it ought to be considered a superpower.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Mommy, my tummy hurts. Can I stay home from school? You know she's not sick, and she loves school. You discover that she is afraid of a classmate. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Bullying is on schools' radars, and much is being done to combat it. But it's hard to stop all people from being mean. Sadly, some do not even realize the impact that their having fun at the expense of others can have. Truth is that bullying happens to people of all ages in a variety of environments, but the potential impact is similar. Distrust of people, fear, and even bitterness can develop, thus contributing to possible relationship problems. The Bible helps us remove bitterness, overcome fears, and provides directives for healthy relationships. If you are facing a bullying situation, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not sure how? Let Shane help. His company, 415 Communications LLC, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give him a call at 515-321-5077.
Okay, we're going to start this segment off with another news item. This one's from the Washington Examiner. Half of Americans who have left their church no longer believe in God. Leading a surge of nearly one quarter of the nation who have no affiliation with any religion, according to a new survey. This is from Pew Research. They said Wednesday that 49% of what they term quote-unquote nuns, that's N-O-N-E-S, left their church and religion because they don't believe. Another 20% said they don't like organized religion. Other reasons included common sense. Oh, boy. And a lack of belief in miracles. The survey is the latest from Pew that demonstrates a growing trend in America. More and more people are junking religion, and many are giving up on God.
You know, Brian, I've been talking about this for months, if not years, that the rise of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, regardless of what you might think of them and regardless of what or who you decide to vote for, the fact that two people that the vast majority of Americans view as dishonest and unscrupulous have risen to combat each other for the top office in America. They are not the problem.
They're a symptom.
They are a reflection of a much deeper problem. And what you are talking about here, the movement away from God and the movement away from a moral code in America, this is the problem in America.
I agree.
Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, they are. They're just a symptom of a much bigger problem.
Well, we need a Christian revival in this land. That's what we need.
We do.
I'm not saying we don't need to continue the fight in the civil realm, in the land of politics, but the big problem is a spiritual one. All right, relative to a couple of the news items that we just spoke of today, we're going to have an audio clip here of Al Mohler, who's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he's going to talk about the Christian faith being a settled matter.
Beginning this academic year in an act of outright intellectual subversion. And frankly, there would be no warrant for it, no excuse for it, no rationale for it, except for one thing. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. And if forever the word of the Lord is settled, then that settles it. We're not trying to figure out what to believe. We're not trying to figure out what to teach. We're not trying to figure out what the faith is supposed to be. We're not trying to figure out how to make the faith more relevant for the modern age. We're not trying to figure out how to reform theological education in order to try to recover some purpose amongst the ruins of a theology lost. We are here to say we want to stand with every faithful teacher throughout the history of the Christian church, backwards not only to 1859, but backwards to the Puritans and the Reformers and Jonathan Edwards and the faithful fathers and throughout the history, and then to the apostles and ultimately to Christ. And from Christ we learn to love and to believe and to obey all of the scriptures. For as he said, these are they that testify of me.
That's powerful stuff.
And it's especially relevant given the fact that we've got everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people in the religious realm today trying to redefine everything. Al Mohler's saying, no way. Settled a long time ago in the scriptures.
He's standing on a rock, and there's no shaking that.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.